teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and today we have a treat. We're going to preview the Wisconsin game, and with me will be Lance Allen, TMJ4's main sports anchor on NBC Milwaukee. It's going to be a fantastic show. We'll be right back. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley here with Lance Allen from TMJ4 NBC in Milwaukee. A special treat. We're going to review the Wisconsin Badgers against the Fighting Illini this Saturday for homecoming. Lance, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, but do you really want to review that Iowa game? That was a tough one.
Well, that's what Iowa does. You know, Illinois beat them 9-6 last year. So it's the Iowa belemification of the Big Ten West, I guess. We only have this is the last year of it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, for those that say, you know, and I do have, and you'll appreciate this, Mike, you know, I don't know about your, you know, personal life fully per se, but I do have some knucklehead friends. Like, if you work in the sports industry, I think it's no mystery that you have at least a few of those friends that other people kind of raise their eyebrow, like The Rock, or kind of look at or whatever. Yep. And at least a few of them with the dark humor were like, well, at least the Badgers probably won't be the sacrificial lamb coming out of the West to take on whoever comes out of the East in the Big Ten championship game. So if you want to look at it that way, hey, maybe that's the case, but who knows?
Yeah. And Illinois took care of that with the Purdue and Nebraska debacle. So maybe that was what they had in mind there. But I tell you, you know, Wisconsin got some rough news with Tanner Mordecai breaking his throwing hand. What does that mean for the Badgers coming up this week? How good is Braden Locke?
Well, first of all, Tanner Mordecai, the update is he did have surgery on his broken hand. He's expected to miss several weeks. You know, not sure if it's season ending, but if you look at his hand, according to the video, and, you know, you superimpose or not superimpose, but if you zoom into his hand or whatever, there's a pretty sizable lump on there. And if you can believe it, Mike, I went without breaking a bone forever in my 53 years on earth, but I was playing pickup hoops and I was stupid enough to dive for a ball and I broke the scaphoid bone, like right there. Yep. So it's pretty close to the same area. It's not the same injury, but yeah, basically if it's anything like that, I was fortunate enough to not have surgery, but it's still like a 4-6, 6-8, whatever you want to say type injury. And mine was a more minor break, same thing, like all these small little bones in your hand. Usually that's the case. If you're a quick healer, maybe it's on the quicker side. So I wouldn't expect Tanner Mordecai anytime soon. That said, you got to move on and go to Braden Locke, you know, redshirt freshman, all that good fun stuff. And the question I would get a lot, Mike, and we don't get to see much of any practice, obviously, because this time of the year, they're really locked down on what they're doing. But when my friends would be like, hey, is Tanner Mordecai the best the Badgers have? I would just simply say yes, because if they had another alternative, they would be looking for it. Not that Mordecai set the world on fire, but he was doing okay. And now you see it in a game. It is hard to get thrown in midstream, you know, you're cold and it's a tough defense and a tough opponent. And you were running the second team, or you were running the scout team half the week or whatever. So it is a tough position for a backup to get thrown into that. But also, I think you're seeing that the Badger quarterback depth isn't quite what Luke Fickell would want it to be at this point of his tenure. He's early in his tenure. He's still trying to get, obviously, deeper depth, you know, on his team or whatever. And there was a reason why Mordecai was by far the number one QB and starter. So they're going to have to try to get him up to speed as quick as possible. I think they're going to have to limit the playbook. No offense to Braden Locke. And it'll be a situation like Deacon Hill with Iowa. I mean, basically, you had a quarterback, Mike, that Iowa clearly did not have a lot of faith in him to throw the ball, didn't want him to throw the ball much, didn't have to throw the ball much with, 209 yards rushing. So now it falls more on Braylon Allen, and unfortunately they have injury issues with Noches Malusi, but you're going to have Braylon Allen carry a large chunk of the load, other running backs step up, whether it's Acker, you know, on down, and then if you do throw the ball, it's going to have to be a lot of quick stuff to DK, a lot of quick stuff to Ashcraft, a lot of quick stuff, to tight ends, whatever. It's going to have to be a more basic Wisconsin old school Barry Alvarez type offense, in my opinion, in order for them to kind of, survive this stretch, however long it is.
Yeah. But Braylon Allen, I mean, there's a lot worse options you could have if you got to run the ball than Braylon Allen, who is just a beast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the Malusi injury definitely hurt them, hurt their flexibility, because, Malusi's more like the, quicker, if you want to use the term scat back or whatever. You saw the 89 yard run earlier this year, whatever. Braylon Allen is just, as good as Iowa's defense is, he trucked a couple of dudes, on Saturday. I mean, that's how good that guy is, that he can really lay the wood and bring the lumber. And he's got some speed as well. Not that he's just a bruising running back. So you're right in the sense that at least they still have options. But it's going to be definitely a little more limited.
Yeah. It's interesting because Braylon Allen at 245 and Caden Fagan over at Illinois at 245, 250. It's kind of like just a slightly younger Braylon Allen back there for Illinois. These two teams are going to know what they're looking. They're going to know what to expect from one another. Does this offensive line feel more comfortable run blocking for Braylon Allen than they would doing the air raid type of blocking?
I'm going to lean toward that direction until Luke Fickell gets his guys in there, so to speak, Mike. And it is interesting because, not that you can point fingers at any one person in particular, but I will say this. I think that the offensive line, maybe depth and quality at Wisconsin, isn't quite what we're used to seeing. It's been an embarrassment of riches that, when Barry Alvarez came in 30 plus years ago and said, we're going to build a wall, build a fence around Wisconsin, and anybody that we deem to be a really good recruit, we're going to keep them. And whether it was Joe Panos way back in the day, the captain that took him to that 93 Rose Bowl team, or Chris McIntosh, the current athletic director, or Joe Thomas, or whomever it was, they had super recruits, they had mid-level recruits, and they had walk-ons like Panos that just bought into the program, were Wisconsin kids, and literally bled red. They always had at least a couple of offensive linemen that you could really hang your hat on. Now you've got a couple of talented offensive linemen, but I think, the last few years you've seen a few go to the league, and the depth behind them wasn't maybe quite as strong as what it was in years past. And I think that's where Wisconsin football is probably in the offseason got to recruit a little harder, a little better, is some of these Wisconsin kids that have gone to other places, and there's some recruits next year that are going to Penn State or Minnesota or this or that or whatever. They kind of got to get back to that bread and butter as far as the recruits they want. And what will be interesting going forward, Mike, and this is a whole different conversation for another day, is, do you have to tailor your offensive line needs to more of the air raid style, or are you what you are? Are you a Wisconsin, 300 pounders, as Barry used to call them, the big palookas up front? Do you have to kind of adapt your air raid system to what it is in this state? That'll be an interesting dilemma, I think, going forward.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest thing that I saw living up in Madison from 90 to 95. You saw these just massive people. And even as a sales manager calling on that whole area through the 2010, probably, you know, you would see these high school kids at 330 pounds, you know, they could drive block anybody.
I would argue, Mike, and you remember him, like Joe Thomas went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a reason, arguably one of the best, not the best left tackle. So I covered Joe Thomas in high school, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I think it's a significant story. Is I will argue with anybody all day long, Mike, that, okay, I've been in the state my whole life. I've covered sports here for 32 years and 27 at TMJ. Joe Thomas is the best athlete I have covered, period, in my time in the state as far as a high school athlete, because not only could he play football and just do things that you rarely saw offensive linemen do, but he was a double-double guy in basketball, you know, with, and he would just come out for basketball, and he was athletic enough that he could do that. And then he nearly broke the shot put record in the state and did shot and discus, and was so athletic that, you know, he nearly broke a, you know, like I think a 40-year-old record or whatever, Stu Voigt's record, the Stu Voigt that played for the Vikings. And he was just the best athlete, you know, as far as and even in high school, he was sculpted, not overweight or whatever. He was sculpted at like 280 or whatever he weighed in high school, put on 10, 15 more pounds of muscle at Wisconsin, and was just incredible with what his athleticism, his drive blocking, his footwork, his all that stuff. So he is a super athlete, you know, beyond super athletes. I mean, I would argue that he was the best that I've seen in person. And then Zach Bond was a close second because he was the quarterback of his football team. And now he's a, you know, linebacker for the Saints, and literally was like a one man football team for the football team he was on. He was like the Michael Vick of his high school team. But yeah, to me, Joe Thomas was the best athlete I've ever seen. And those were the athletes and some of the offensive linemen and some of the guys, you know, whether it was Tyler Biadasz or whether it was, you know, a Travis Frederick, or whether, you know, the list goes on and on. I'm going to leave somebody off the list because there's so Rob Havenstein, who's still in the league. You know, there's David Edwards. There's so many offensive linemen that have gone on to the NFL that are more athletic than what they're given credit for. That have come out of the state, and they kind of need to get back to getting some of those guys.
Yeah. And of course the very top players, they could do air raid. They could do, you know, ground and pound. It's getting the rest of the line around those greats that is the challenge, you know? And I know that when Illinois had their big resurgence in the '80s, you know, Mike White believed you could find pass blockers easier than you could find, at least in the state of Illinois, than you could find the guys who could just, you know, move people out of the way, ironically. And certainly Wisconsin has been able to do a little bit of both. When you look at the defense that Wisconsin has, are they going to be good enough to, you know, hold teams down so that an offense that's at reduced amperage, so to speak, will be able to be enough?
So the quick and easy question would be yes, Mike, and I know you need more time filler than that, so I won't just say yeah.
Well, that's it. Thank you.
I'm all Mr. Positive here. You know, so but the caveat is, you still, last I checked, if we want to once again be cliche ridden or just be very simple or whatever, the last I checked, you still have to outscore your opponent to win games. So does that mean that the defense has to come up with, you know, turnovers deep in the opposing territory? Yes, they do, to put their offense in advantageous position. Do they need pick sixes, or do they need to make game-changing plays on special teams and defense? Yes, they do. And you look to, I think Hunter Wohler, the safety, has had a very good season, and I think he will be playing on Sundays, as they still say, even though the NFL now plays on Thursdays and Mondays and every other day of the week, seemingly. But I, you know, Hunter Wohler is a guy that you look to that goes, okay, he's a difference maker. I think Jordan Turner is a guy that could be a difference maker in a lot of different ways. And you've seen other guys like CJ Getz, who have made plays and did make plays on Saturday. So, you know, once again, Ricardo Hallman had that, you know, pick six against Maryland. I think that, yes, that the defense, they do have a very good defense. And the defense almost went toe for toe with Iowa. They just made one mistake, and that was giving up that 82-yard run. And it is, you can't say, hey, just take that one mistake away and they would have been right in that game. No, you have to include that mistake, because they made one more mistake than Iowa made. But that is how slim, I think, in my opinion, the razor thin margin of error is, that, you know, they're going to have to deal with. And let's face facts. A lot of people think Kirk Ferentz, it's not sexy, but Kirk Ferentz plays a conservative style of ball. The punter gets what, Big Ten special teams player of the week every week.
Yes.
An all-star punter, you know, and they have a great defense, swarming defense, and they do just enough. But it works and it wins. And there are some people who feel like, whether it was Luke Fickell or Phil Longo or whatever, that they left points on the board and they didn't game manage as well as what they could have and should have, and that cost the Badgers. And I can't totally argue with that, to be honest.
Yeah, especially, you know, you see that throughout college football. You know, you pass up opportunities, and I know it drives, I'm a fan like everybody else, it drives you nuts to see a field goal in the first quarter, you know, when you're on the 7-yard line. But, you know, you do that a couple times, and you think later in the game, I go back to the Oregon game that, you know, that we saw on Saturday against Washington, you know, at the end of the first half, if they kicked that field goal that they decided to try to go for a touchdown on that turnover at the end of the half, Oregon maybe walks away with that victory and puts them in a position for a national title, or at least gets them one step closer. So those decisions, they have legs later on in the game that can make a difference between that.
You asked Brett Bielema that too, very quickly. I covered all the Badger Rose Bowls, and the one that, you know, it was just haunting to see JJ Watt did not want to take off his Badgers uniform when they lost to TCU 21-19 and Andy Dalton. And there was a play, I think same thing, Mike, if I can recall it, like late in the first half where, you know, Brett did not go for the field goal and they, you know, stuffed them and whatever. And I think something similar happened against Stanford and Rose Bowl as well. But, you know, a lot of times, like you said, it's not sexy in the first half, but in the first half, especially, I like to get points on the board and not give the other team momentum or belief that they can be in this game and win this game. And I think in at least one, if not both of those instances, it came back to bite them.
Yeah, and I blame that on Jason Garrett of the Cowboys, because as a huge Cowboy fan, we had to watch a decade of Jason Garrett kicking field goals and then the Cowboys losing in the end. And I think he basically made the field goal a pariah for football coaches across America. Then you see what happens, you know, when you don't. And even Illinois, you know, you wonder, with a couple of times they were stuffed on the goal line, you're thinking, hey, maybe an early field goal might have been worth just getting the 3 points, a couple high fives, starting things off in a positive manner versus the frustration of we can't get a half a yard or we can't get a yard when we really need it. And the other thing that's very interesting, when you watch the coaches, they betray so much of the emotion. Like when they look and you can see that they're like, we can't get a half a yard, and that look of amazement and frustration on their face can't help but spread to the sideline as they're there doing that. How has Coach Fickell been in terms of what you're seeing from him, from the play calling and his game management this season?
Overall, not bad, Mike. And that's what's maybe a little more puzzling, you know, when it comes to this is, I think they probably thought that they could outscore Iowa. I think they thought they could outpoint them, to be honest. And I think that was, you know, sometimes you have to sit back, and no offense to the players you have and no offense to the program and the system and things like that. But it, yes, the transfer portal has kind of made things so that you can rebuild a team quicker or do certain things or whatever. But I think we're seeing it with Deion in Colorado, where, yeah, they start off in a blaze of glory, but they still have a ways to go. Or same thing with, you know, when people came at me and they were like, oh my word, you know, like Wisconsin should instantly be better. And I'm like, it's still even with the transfer portal, and even though that's the Wild West and whatever, you still have to build chemistry, cohesion. You know, you still don't have all of your own guys in there and things like that. And I think sometimes you have to, the old phrase, suck it up, buttercup. Sometimes you have to kind of just know what you are and say, okay, this is our identity. This, we still don't have this true air raid offense where you're whipping it all over the place. You know, I dare I say, you know, the best days of that were Brett Bielema and Russell Wilson, and they didn't call it air raid, but every game would seem like Wisconsin was scoring 40 to 50 points a game. You know, even when they lost to Oregon in the Rose Bowl, it was like, what, 45-38 or whatever. So, right. So arguably that was the best offense, you know, for the Badgers in their history. So you're not at that level yet. So you have to kind of realize, like, okay, until we get this thing going in another year or two, you know, if that's what happens, we are what we are. And what are we? Well, we got Braylon Allen. He's 245 pounds. And we got a quarterback, whether it was Tanner Mordecai or Braden Locke, that they're good, but, you know, no offense to them. Maybe they're more on the game manager side. Maybe they're more just, hey, you know, make some completions, make smart decisions, whatever, take care of the ball, but that's what it is. And we have a good defense. So that's kind of what we got to hang our hat on. And there's no shame in that. You win more games than you lose by just realizing what you are and sometimes taking what's given, like what you said, just taking the points that are available, and sometimes that's three.
Well, and the funny thing is I was mystified by how highly ranked Wisconsin was, not because they weren't a talented group of players, but because they had had a tough year last year, and they were going to, at least on the surface, it appeared that they were going to be asked to play a style of ball offensively that they may not be totally suited for from a roster standpoint. And I thought that was unfair to rate that team that highly and expect those, that level of results. I don't feel like I was wrong.
I think that's accurate. Yeah, I agree, Mike. I'm not just saying it to, you know, I know they always say in podcast world or radio world or TV world, embrace debate. And I could, you know, be like, Mike, you're an idiot. You're wrong. No, you're not. I got to agree. I know it doesn't make for, you know, sexy viewing and talk and what, and arguments or whatever, but I have to agree with you. I completely agree with that argument.
Yeah. And then the other thing we've seen, even looking at Devin Leary, is, you know, he was projected to be the best of the quarterbacks, you know, in the portal, and you can see how hard it is to switch systems, and people forget that even looking at, you know, Quinn Ewers down at Texas, you know, this is his second year in that offense, and switching systems might work if you're a physical freak. You know, Shedeur Sanders offers some things. We had the opportunity of seeing him. I lived down in Texas, saw him play in high school, and the things he can do physically on a football field are nothing short of amazing. But if you're not a Joe Thomas level athletic freak, you have to understand the system. And I think a lot of people really don't understand the intellectual requirements that it takes to play football. We like to think of, they're big and strong, but just because you're big and strong, you have to understand what you're doing and what the objective of a play is. And even an offensive lineman, if you put your helmet on the wrong side of a player on a block, can be the difference between a guy being sprung for a touchdown or a tackler going right past you and, you know, getting the quarterback for a 5-yard loss.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I get asked about, you know, Nick Evers, same thing, like very talented quarterback or whatever, and just not quite there yet. And same thing, like what you mentioned, Mike, about you look at Graham Mertz at Florida, and now all of a sudden Badger fans are like, whoa. And it's like, okay, he didn't set the world on fire. And there were people, and maybe even some Badger fans, but some people that were kind of snarky, like, oh, look at this, you know, he still can't get, and he was learning and whatever. And now they're what, 5-2. And it still is a work in progress. I'm not going to say he's like, you know, 5-star Graham Mertz at this point or anything like that, but clearly he's better. Clearly he knows the system better. Clearly he's more comfortable with the system they're running. And you're right. Like sometimes it's a shame that you other than maybe his first game in the during the pandemic, where he just set the world on fire and literally completed every one of his passes except one and had this incredible debut. And other than just a few glimpses, you never saw that Graham Mertz at Wisconsin. And now you're like, man, that would have been a nice bridge to the next generation of Badger team or quarterback if he would have stayed or if it would have worked out. But clearly, you know, I think it's probably the case of, hey, sometimes it's a better for a change for both sides, but especially for him, and God bless him. It seems like he's now doing better at Florida.
Yeah. So I know you've taken a lot of time out of your schedule, and we appreciate it. This one's an interesting one because we saw Illinois go out against a Maryland team that arguably is better than either Illinois or Wisconsin this year. And Illinois beat them and actually really was in control of most of the game to the shock and amazement of most Illinois fans who had to sit through a Nebraska and Purdue game where Illinois let two teams that were on paper not as good as Illinois dominate them. What are you thinking is going to happen this week? If somebody said, Lance, we need a prediction from you, what would you give as your prediction? Because I think this is going to be one of the more challenging weeks to accurately forecast.
I agree. Brett Bielema, knowing him a little bit and knowing that Jim Leonard is a consultant with Illinois, they will definitely have some things cooked up for Wisconsin. I don't think I'm, breaking any news with that, Mike. I don't think that's any shocking revelations, but I do think that both of those guys definitely, when they see Wisconsin and they see the white uniforms and the red W, motion W and whatever, that they're locked in. They want to beat that team, whatever. And then this is one of those pivotal moments for Luke Fickell early in his tenure. I'm not going to say that it's completely going to define his tenure at Wisconsin, but it is one of the more key pivotal moments early in his tenure. And we all know, anybody who knows a lot about the Big Ten, and I assume they do with this podcast, that that Luke Fickell was a, state champion wrestler, and his mentality, and the poll that came out at the beginning of the season of the 50 toughest football coaches, in college, and who was the toughest? Luke Fickell, because he just looks like that. He just looks like that guy that's got the Al Pacino, eyes, yep. And he's ready to go and he's whatever. So this is one of his moments where he's going to challenge guys. He's going to challenge them in that locker room. He's going to challenge them this week and say, everybody thinks that we're dead in the water. Prove to them that they're wrong. And so I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup. I'm not trying to avoid who to pick. Right now, the way things are on Monday, as we're doing this, I would lean toward Illinois, but this is going to be a defining moment for both of these teams this year. And the team that wins is going to be like, hey, we can still make something of our season. Hey, this is a springboard to the second half, or this is a springboard to, we can prove the haters and the doubters wrong and we can get this thing done. So to me, this is going to be a very interesting game, even though it's on the undercard of the Big Ten or whatever you want to say. It's not going to be Ohio State, Penn State, or whatever you want to say. It's still going to be a really interesting game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this is – Illinois is terrified of the Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp phenomenon hitting today on Saturday. And I think I agree with you. I think this is going to be a huge one. And both coaches have a lot of reasons to want to win this. And Fickell's got some real motivation. And obviously Bielema and Leonard have some motivations that everybody's going to downplay them, but we know that that's not really true. Any final comments before we let you go after kindly giving us some time out of your day?
Just that it's Wisconsin's still a team in transition. I know people don't like to hear that, but I still think that this is kind of what, and I think you hinted at it too, Mike, this is kind of what we thought they were going to be. I didn't think they were going to set the world on fire. And even when people were saying, hey, they're going to win the Big Ten West, I'm like, well, the Big Ten West isn't exactly like a gauntlet run. But I also think they're going to have some warts and some hiccups along the way. So to me, this isn't as shocking as it is maybe to other people, but this is where we're at.
Yep. Well, hey, I appreciate it very much. Lance Allen from TMJ4 NBC in Milwaukee. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
No problem. Anytime, Mike.
Take care, sir. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it.
only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com.
This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley thanking Lance Allen of TMJ4, NBC4 in Milwaukee for coming on the show this week, previewing the Wisconsin-Illinois game. When you start off with four losses going 2-4, almost every game forward is a big game. This week is a big game. Unfortunately for the Illini, almost every game's going to be one. We're not making it up. But if the Illini can find a way past the Badgers this week, it sets themselves up for a very, very good finish to the season. Even if they don't win this game, they're still in a nice place, but it would be a much easier road to a bowl game if they could beat these Badgers. Stay tuned. We'll have a ton of coverage on IlliniGuys.com. And of course, we want to see those Illini pull this off. Go Illini.